Today, if you shall hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. What can be more impressive, writes Dom Granger, than the solemn invitatory of today's matins, the morning prayer of the church, which the church takes from one of the Psalms, and which she repeats on every feria between this and Holy Thursday. She says, "Today, if you will hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. The sweet voice of your suffering Jesus now speaks to you, poor sinners. Be not your own enemies by indifference and hardness of heart. The Son of God is about to give you the last and greatest proof of the love that brought him down from heaven. His death is nigh at hand. Men are preparing the wood for the immolation of the new Isaac. Enter into yourselves, and let not your heart, after being touched with grace, return to its former obduracy, its former stubbornness, for nothing could be more dangerous. The great feasts we are to celebrate have a renovating power for those souls that faithfully correspond with the grace that is offered for them, but they increase insensibility in those who let them pass without working their conversion. Today, therefore, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts." Yes, we are called to conversion every day of our lives, and even more so during this holy season of Lent. Then, how much more should we heed this call during these last 2 weeks that separate us from the great feast of the resurrection of our Lord? Today, the Church calls us to lend a more attentive ear to the ever more pressing calls of prayer and repentance that she addresses in our name to Almighty God. Today, if we hear the voice of the Lord, let us not harden our hearts like we have done so many times before. And how do we harden our hearts, if not by the continual rejection of God's grace that he holds out to us, by returning to our sins, by not making sufficient efforts to amend our lives? Let him then, says St. Gregory the Great, who would understand God's words, ask himself whether he hears them with the ears of his heart. For there are some who do not deign to hear God's commands even with their bodily ears, and there are others who do this, but do not embrace them with their heart's desire, and there are others again who receive God's words readily, yea, and are touched even to tears, but who afterwards go back to their sins again, and therefore cannot be said to hear the word of God because they neglect to practice it. And our Lord himself says that in today's gospel, when he says to the Jews who are seeking to catch him in some sort of lie, he says, "Because you are not of God, you hear not the words of God." And he addresses those words also to us when we do not hear the words of God and implement them in our lives. God's grace is a free gift. It's a pure effect of his bounty and is owed. It's owed to no one. He is patient with us, much more patient, infinitely patient, than much more patient than we deserve, bearing again and again with our repeated faults and falls. But if we continue to neglect his holy inspiration, can he be blamed for withdrawing his grace? In today's gospel, we read of our Lord's witness to the Jews. He asked them, "Which of you shall convince me of sin?" None of them, of course, can. He has performed miracles, healed the sick, made the blind see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, and even raised the dead to life. He has done all things well and perfectly. He has taught the most sublime doctrine of the new law of grace and won the hearts of many by his goodness and meekness. Yet, they still continue to ignore the wonders and good works that he has performed and accuse him of having a devil because they are hypocrites and because he has shown them in their pride and sin, not to condemn them, no, but that he might save them. Yet, the sick man can only be healed by the divine physician if the patient uses the remedy offered to him. Our Lord is so patient with his stubborn and stiff-necked people, whose obstinacy in sin is found again in all sinners, all of us, if we resist the remedies of God's grace. In our hearts, there's the same ingratitude, the same blindness, the same wild madness, writes again Dom Granger, with this difference, that the sinner who is enlightened by faith knows him whom he crucifies, whereas the Jews, as St. Paul tells us, knew not the Lord of glory. Whilst, therefore, we listen to the gospel, which relates the history of the Passion, let us turn the indignation we feel for the Jews against ourselves and our own sins. Let us weep over the sufferings of our victim, for our sins caused him to suffer and die. What then can we do and should we do to heed the voice of God who calls us today, who tells us not to harden our hearts? First of all, we should listen to the word of God proclaimed to us by the Church, and especially in her sacred liturgies, which contain the doctrine of Christ given to us under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. We should also be attentive to the instruction given to us in the sermons preached at Holy Mass that we attend. St. Francis de Sales tells us in his own sermon for this Sunday, "We will certainly deserve great punishment if, having known that we are so dearly loved by our good Savior, we are nevertheless so ungrateful as not to love him with all our heart and our power, nor follow with all our strength and all our care the examples he has given us in his passion, his death, and his life. He will reproach us as he does in today's gospel. If I have taught you, I, who cannot be accused of sin, I, whose life is irreproachable, I, who preach to you the truth I received from my heavenly Father, why then do you not believe me? If you believe I am telling you the truth, why do you not accept and persevere in it? Why do you instead live wholly to the contrary of what is expected of you?" To avoid such a predicament, my dear souls, we must know how we are to hear and accept God's words. And as our holy patron says, we must receive the word of God preached to us, not as we would any entertaining story or tale, but as something much greater, because it has a bearing on our eternal salvation. And he concludes, "With our hearts thus opened before God, and with the good disposition to profit what he will say to us, from what he will say to us, let us remain attentive. Remember, it is his majesty who speaks to us and makes known his will. Thus, with a spirit of devotion and attention, let us hear the truths and the remedies that which the preacher proposes to us." Passiontide, which is the 2 weeks between this Sunday and the Easter Vigil, includes the Easter Vigil up to the Feast of Easter. It serves as a lead-up and an introduction into Holy Week, called in the breviary and in the Missal, Hebdomada Maior, the Great Week. St. John Chrysostom says, "We call it great, not because it has more days than other weeks, or because its days have more hours, but because of the number and the greatness of the mysteries we celebrate therein. For it is in these days that the devil's tyranny was destroyed, death was disarmed, sin and curse were taken away, heaven was opened and made accessible to man, who because of this becomes the equal to angels. Its fastings and vigils are also longer, its offices more numerous." Dear faithful, in 1 week, we will have the opportunity to assist at all of the beautiful ceremonies of the timeless Catholic liturgy, representing to us the mysteries of our salvation, which remain for us a source of inestimable grace. We will follow again, step by step, the events of the last earthly moments of our Lord's life, his passion and death, and finally his glorious resurrection. Certainly, there are sacrifices to be made if we are to attend these sublime liturgies of the Church this Holy Week. Sacrifice of time, of possibly long drives in the car, the even longer liturgies here in our oratory. How can we complain about the sad state of affairs in the world and perhaps in our own lives and yet make no effort to attend these Holy Week liturgies when and where they are offered? Let us remember, God is never outdone in generosity. Already, the liturgy invites us to enter into the contemplation of the reality of our Lord, both God and man. Today, we acknowledge him as God, for he reveals himself as such, appropriating to himself the divine name revealed by God to Moses in the burning bush, "I am who am," and for which the Jews wished to stone him. Only God can say this, and our Lord reveals himself to the incredulous Jews through this affirmation, and also supporting this affirmation were all of the miracles that he had worked up to this point. This is the reason that the statues and the representations of our Lord and the saints are covered with the violet veils today, to express our grief at the coming passion and death of our Savior, and to raise our minds to the contemplation of his divinity amidst the sufferings of his holy humanity. Let us have courage, dear faithful, for despite our infidelities and stubbornness, our Lord will draw us closer to him in this holy time, for today and during these next few weeks, when we hear the voice of the Lord, we will harden not our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.